He was so tense, I eased a hand toward a knife. Irogotesque by night, human by day. Brought to life around 12 years, I continued. His fist smashed into the table, and I leapt back without one of the precious knives. Adonis was unhinged for the first time since I'd met him. "Who told you?" he demanded, eyes blazing and face flushed. He stepped towards me, and I had the impression of a lion about to attack. I really had no other way to defend myself except with words. I raised my hands and kept my voice low, steady and calm as I responded. "No one told me. I remember. Mnemosyne showed me what I forgot."
"Which was what, exactly?"
"Mismatch."
"That's not possible."
He snatched the material of my shirt and shoved me into a column, keeping me in place with his strong frame and the forearm across my throat. I was silent and too aware that I was out of knowledge about him. I hadn't known much about him at all when I was younger.
"No one knows that name."
His low voice was a threat, his eyes pinned to mine. Uncomfortable, yet not about to try to move, I struggled to pin down emotions that were starting to race within me. My first instinct was to either run or fight, and it was the wrong time for either reaction. I hadn't learned everything about handling the world I thought I had when leaving the forest. Determining the best way not to get killed was unexpectedly difficult. We stared at each other in a thick silence. I had never been this close to a man, other than Heracles, who didn't count. Never had my body pressed to another's. I was torn between believing the grotesque who risked his life for me when I was young would never hurt me, and knowing the muscular body I was once more experiencing could destroy me before I had a chance to speak again. And then there was the other emotion, the one tied to my fevered insides and the fluttering of my stomach that seemed ridiculously out of place at a time like this. Adonis was attractive, more so now that I knew he could turn into a mythical monster, which was beyond intriguing. Even more so after seeing him rescue me when I was a child, from the eyes that resembled the gem at my chest, to the quiet intensity and self-assurance, he could outrun, outsmart, and outmaneuver me, all of which were Heracles' conditions for any boy to get near me. He was kind of incredible. Assuming he didn't kill me, I studied his perfect features. He was struggling. Though against what I couldn't tell, I sure as Hades wasn't resisting. It had to be the goddess trying to make him remember. "Your nose is bleeding again," I ventured. He touched it with his free hand and gazed briefly at the blood. Glassiness crossed his eyes. With no warning, he stepped back and shook his head, stumbled another step, and weaved on his feet. I stared at him, not expecting the weird weakness to return. He displayed none of it upon our first meeting.
"How did you know of my condition?" he asked, and rested the heel of one palm against his temple.
"Condition?" I repeated. "Sounds like you're sick, but you're not. You were grotesque." He shot me a warning look, and this time I saw the pain. The image of him on the kitchen floor distracted me long enough to cost me the chance to reach for a knife on the table. Able to read his opponent, he shifted between me and the table without raising his guard. I did the only thing I could. "We met 12 years ago," I started, at a loss as to what else to do except talk. My new memories were crisp and clear. "You were a statue on the Temple of Artemis. I woke you up one day, and you came to visit me later that night. I awoke your stuffed animal, too. Her name is Mrs. Nettles. I didn't understand why you had her at first, but now I get it. She's kind of alive, and has been since you met her." He lifted his head,
the tension creeping back into his frame.
He does not like to talk about this. You tried to rescue me when I was little, but got,
hurt. I barely stopped from mentioning who hurt him, how he let Heracles go when he'd nearly killed him. Hurt, he repeated. His intense gaze shifted to me.
Unless he can't remember either.
His scrutiny supported Mnemosyne's claim. You know, fell out of the sky. Both of us did.
I don't just fall out of the sky. Something happened.
You have a scar here? I asked and touched one side, then the other. And here. His head lowered, and his predatory glare gave me chills.
You were rescuing me, and got stabbed,
I continued.
By whom?
He stepped towards me. I very wisely began to step back at the same speed. Not by me, I exclaimed. I was 6.
But you know who did it.
It was kind of a long time ago. A knife appeared in one of his hands. What's important is that you don't want to hurt me. You shouldn't hurt me, I mean, I said. We aren't enemies.
Enough. Draw your weapons.
I don't have any. He winced and ceased stalking me, one hand hovering at his head again. I didn't know enough about the ribbons to understand what they were supposed to tell me. This isn't a normal headache, is it? I asked. Mnemosyne is trying to show you what you've forgotten.
Not your concern.
He wobbled on his feet. Seconds later, he dropped to his knee, holding his head. I studied him. You can't remember me, but when we're around each other, something happens to you, I guessed. You feel the connection, don't you? He said nothing. He was regulating his breathing as if to calm himself. I named you Mismatch, I added, after I awoke you. Do you remember that? No response. Squatting to see his face better, I kept my distance, not about to end up shredded because he snapped. How do I help you remember? I studied the ribbons around him. All were agitated, though one in particular had ragged edges along one side. I had seen the little me of 12 years ago smooth out Heracles' ragged, discolored Franken ribbons. I stretched out a hand the way I saw myself do it 12 years ago and began tracing the edge of the ribbon with my finger, trying to smooth it out. Just when I was about to give up and flush with embarrassment about swiping at random things no one else could see, the edges folded. One by one, the ridges disappeared. Adonis shuddered. His eyes were closed. Did that do anything? I asked awkwardly. If you didn't feel anything, then never mind. If you remember falling,
I dropped you.
The hoarse whisper carried a note of pain.
We were both falling.
My heart leapt. Yes, you went through the roof and Heracles caught me. His head flew up. Heracles threw the javelin. By the flare of fire in his eyes, he wasn't going to be content to imprison Heracles next time they met. Yeah, we need to get past that part, I suggested.
Although if it's true Heracles killed my parents.
It wasn't the right time, not until I was certain Adonis wasn't about to try to kill me. You remember me. You know why you can't kill me. A guarded smile tugged up the side of his lips. You love me. I flushed. No. Baby Alessandra did, I think we might one day get along, so long as you don't decide to kill me. He held my gaze, amused yet still tense. And for the record, she lived the gargoyle version of you. She never met this you, I added self-consciously, hating my blush and flustered disclaimer. Grotesque. Gargoyles have water spouts. He stood as he spoke. I did as well and resisted the urge to put more space between us. Adonis, Mismatch, whatever you want to be called. Are you going to force me to fight you or not? I asked, because I can't live with something happening to you. These were dangerous words, born of emotion, but I couldn't get the image of him falling, bleeding out of my mind. He was holding his head again.
You're older. He faced me. I forgot how quickly humans age.
I have no idea what to say to that. You didn't age much at all.
I'm only human half a day.
Right. Anyway, about this, I gestured towards the table. The trial. He cocked his head to the side as if listening. I tried to hear what he did, with no success.
What is it? I asked. Either I fight you, or we're both in trouble.
Trouble doesn't sound so bad. Even as I said it, I inched towards the table. His gaze settled on me. I had a feeling he was trying to reconcile a bunch of new information, freed memories, before he revealed his intention. I wanted to empathize after the experience I still couldn't wrap my head around, but my greatest concern was surviving.
It's the kind of trouble we may not escape.
He strode to the table and picked up two more knives.
The Supreme Priest is furious.
We... I repeated, my heart accelerating. So, where are we? He glanced at me before tossing over two knives. Catching them, I almost shouted with relief. Thank the gods. I wasn't going to be forced into a battle with him this day, and I'd managed to defer it without shedding a drop of blood. Adonis approached once more, this time holding out a third knife. Gazing up at him, I accepted it.
We're, like, BFFs now? I asked skeptically.
I do not understand everything yet, he replied.
But I remember you. I remember you giving me life.
He was quiet for a moment. I sensed turmoil, though he displayed none of it.
I remember swearing to protect you.
I can take care of myself, I objected softly.
Not against me.
The truth scared me.
If I refuse to face you, I cede the trial. You will triumph by default.
I'm okay with that, I said. He bowed his head once, and a thrill rippled through me. I'd pass my first trial, even if by accident. I had the sense of gravity shifting, of the world around me changing rapidly enough to make my stomach turn. Rather than move, I gazed up at Adonis, once more mesmerized by his gaze and the sense of connectedness between us. And, more than a little worried he meant to betray or otherwise feed me to his boss at some point. The sensations ceased and were replaced by a different sound. The roaring of a crowd. Blood and sweat were in the air. The ground beneath our feet turned from concrete to dirt. What's happening? We were at the center of a crude arena, surrounded by an audience on bleachers that stretched 20 meters upward. The shape, sense, and ceiling overhead gave away our location as being one of the seedy criminal underground fighting rings, the type Nico probably frequented.
My master is displeased.
Did you do this? I breathed.
No. This is where he sends me to punish me.
I stared at him. You work for a man who sends you to a death match when you mess up?
You're weak on your left, Adonis said and shifted to that side of me.
You're going to defend me on that side, or kill me? I asked.
Swords.
His gaze was on a weapons display at the side of the arena. Without answering me, he trotted towards it and withdrew two short swords, twirling them to test them. I watched. It made sense to know how to use a knife in this day and age. But a sword? He was deftly checking their balance, maneuvering them with his normal, fleeting agility, and running quickly through a few weapons forms. Satisfied, he returned, pausing to gaze at me. I saw the flicker of confusion, the only indication he was about as clear about us as I was.
"I can't remember why I saved you all those years ago," he said finally.
"Did you deserve it?"
"Dude, I was 6. I shifted under his intent look.
"Truce for now?"
"I don't do things without a reason, and I can't decipher why I should spare you.
It's a feeling.
Instinct."
I rolled my eyes. "Whatever. You just know you can't hurt me because we're bound somehow."
"Yes."
The gates at one end of the arena rolled open, and the crowd hushed in anticipation. I stared into the depths of the doorway. I wasn't feeling as enthusiastic as usual about the prospect of fighting someone. Whatever was there had 4 ribbons. Not that I had a clue what that meant. Adonis had 5.
"Come on, Adonis. Just tell me we have a truce so I'm not paranoid about you stabbing me in the back."
"None is needed." He stepped forward and tested his swords again.
"Stop with the mind games," I snapped. "I just need a yes or no. That's it."
"The Supreme Priest had 1 chance to win you with his trial. I ceded it to you. Do you think I'm going to kill you now?"
"No offense, Adonis, but I don't have a clue how your mind works."
I withdrew 2 knives and faced the direction he was.
"What in Hades is that?"
I stared as some thing began to emerge from the darkness of the doorway. It wasn't human, and it was huge. Just when I thought my world couldn't become any more foreign to me.
Chapter 14.
In all things of nature, there is something of the marvelous. Aristotle.
"Is that a manticore?"
My mouth was open.
"Yeah," Adonis answered.
"Big one, too. Their breeding program is getting better."
"Breeding?"
I couldn't think, let alone ask. The male version of a sphinx had a shaggy human head, the body of a lion, and bat-like wings. He was also the size of a Clydesdale, with fangs and talons that were twice the length of my index fingers.
The beast games are the triumvirate's covert way of keeping local citizens focused on this side of the wall. Largest gambling events in the world. Technically illegal and secretly supported by the triumvirate.
"That's impossible," I managed finally, watching the creature emerge from the depths of the arena.
"I'm beginning to think you grew up in a hole in the ground, not in a forest."
It was the worst time possible to tease me. I was about to pass out.
"Snap out of it," he nudged me. "It's just a fight. You're good at fights."
Adonis was focused, yet not worried.
I was. I'd seen a tiny monster in a dreamland that didn't exist. I had no idea monsters were real.
"Okay, I can do this," I murmured and drew a breath.
"Can you use a sword?"
"Normal people don't use swords, Adonis."
"Not sure where I learned."
"I can't remember that far back yet." A smile pulled up one side of his mouth.
"You're far from normal. Try it."
He handed me one of his.
It was well balanced, but somewhat awkward, and a bit heavy. But considering the distance I'd need to be to wound the beast with a knife...
"You're enjoying this," I said, studying him.
"I need the outlet."
We both did. From strangers and enemies, to a shared history where we were besties, I doubted even sharp Adonis knew what to think. My shock began to wear off as I evaluated the creature for weaknesses.
"It doesn't bother you that your boss sends you to fight monsters when he's mad?"
"No."
"This guy is something else."
The monster roared, and the packed auditorium cheered. I handed the sword back, eyed the beast standing outside its gate, and jogged to the weapons. Tucking knives in a cargo pocket and one at my waist, I hefted 2 swords and returned to the center of the ring beside Adonis.
"Any tips?" I asked.
aside from begging Eris to bless us.
He moved a meter away, then two. Beware the tail. Keep its attention divided. You have the speed and ability. If we can coordinate our attacks, keep it off guard. One of us will have a kill shot. I didn't have time to thank him before the beast was upon us. It charged towards me first and swiped with a paw the size of my torso. I arched back and watched razor-sharp talons soar inches over my head. Instincts kicked in, and I smashed one arm into it to keep its momentum from shifting back. It rounded on Adonis. The whip-like tail smashed into my calves and knocked me onto the ground. I rolled, the world a blur of dirt and monster, and leapt to my feet, ducked a second swipe, and slashed a scratch in its side. "Tail!" Adonis called. I jumped up. The tail swept beneath my legs, and I was starting to feel somewhat smarter than the beast when the manticore donkey kicked me with one leg. I sprawled onto my back. The air knocked from my lungs. Its tail soared over my body as Adonis kept it occupied. "You alive?" he called. It took a moment for air to reach my lungs once more. "Yeah." I climbed to my feet. He was moving and fighting with the agility I envied. The crowd roared when the manticore knocked him off his feet. Adonis rolled away. "Hey!" I shouted to the ugly creature. With some timing and a whole lot of luck, I plunged a sword into its writhing tail. It snapped the tail another direction, taking one sword with it. The manticore rounded on me, and I glimpsed its fanged mouth up close. With a roar, it began swiping and snapping. Pure adrenaline drove my reflexes. It was all I could do not to get smashed by the creature, and I focused on movement rather than striking. "On your left."
Adonis's words were quiet, half a second before I smacked into him.
He steadied me with one arm, lashing out with the other, and nudged me back to my feet. He bore a red streak down one arm. "New plan. Move with me," he ordered. We maneuvered and faced the beast. It withdrew to study us, paced, and then launched again. I stayed with Adonis, finding it easier than I thought to fight at his side. I didn't have to look at him or worry about whether I was about to crash into him again. His enhanced instincts kept us in tandem, and my sense of connectedness gave me a sixth sense about where he was. I finally began to see where I had a shot to attack rather than deflect and duck, and made my first effort to slash at the beast. I cut it across the cheek. Rather than retreat like I had hoped, it roared and flung itself at me instead. This time, its speed was more like Adonis's than mine, and all I could do was watch it leap in slow motion, immobilized. The beast was fast. Adonis was faster. He smashed into me milliseconds before the enraged beast. One of its talons tore down my back, and fire spread throughout me. We hit the ground and rolled, landing side by side, Adonis on his belly and me on my blazing back. I cursed, unaccustomed to this level of pain. "You overextended," he said, and hopped to his feet. He hauled me up. The beast was pacing once more, blood seeping from several wounds into the dirt. The crowd was at a roar, and both of us were now hurt. Adonis spun me to check my back. "Superficial. We'll bleed a lot," he said, after a quick assessment. He stepped in closer, until his body met mine and gripped my wrist. "Quick lesson in sword fighting. The blade is an extension of you." He moved my arm through several motions. "You're not used to having a 6-foot reach, but you need to use it. Here," he stabbed. "Not here." He did it again, this time pulling me off balance. "You need to feel the space between you and the tip of the blade. Got it?" I nodded. His warmth left my back, but not my body entirely, and I faced him and the beast, not understanding the draw, or why his touch stirred up something inside me. Grimacing, I stretched back. The wound was hurting bad, and blood trickled down my pants. "You remember how Bellerophon defeated the Cerberus?"
he asked. Yes, he flew away. Are you going to turn into Mismatch soon? I asked, excited. No, I was thinking you could be the one who flies. The gleam in his eye was new, and I didn't know him well enough to know if it was humor or opportunity that caused it. Or maybe he was having fun fighting a monster because his boss was mad. Explain. I'll launch you onto his back. You ram a sword through the back of his skull. The beast was starting towards us again. That's your plan. You got a better one? Sadly, I didn't. Reading my expression, he whipped off his belt and looped it around my hand and the sword hilt. Not that I don't trust you to hang on to it, he said. Ready? Sure. My heart was flying, my back burning, and I had the urge to push reset on everything that had happened the past few days. We both looked towards the creature barreling towards us. Adonis bent, and I placed one foot firmly in his clasped hands. He twisted us to where my back was to the creature. We're a good pair, I said, needing some affirmation when my heart was ready to leap out of my chest. I wanted to trust that he wasn't going to feed me to the charging beast I couldn't see. I could hear it, though, even above the roar of the crowd. It sounded like it was on us. Adonis gave me an odd look, neither agreeing nor disagreeing. Heat warmed my cheeks. We really weren't on the same page, despite being trapped here fighting monsters and our shared experiences in the past. Or whatever. Just throw me. Land on your feet. It was the only warning he gave. One moment I was holding my breath, afraid of having my head snapped off, and the next, I was soaring through the air. He hefted me high enough that I did a flip and watched as he slashed at the beast and ducked below it as it leapt. I didn't land on my feet. I pancaked onto its back and grabbed the mane with both hands, grateful Adonis had thought to tie the sword to my wrist. I straddled the beast just as it reared and clung to it with thighs and hands. It bucked the moment its front legs hit the ground, and I was flung forward. The jarring ride left me thinking I'd never have the ability to steady myself. Ready in three. Startled, I sat up the best I could at his countdown and managed to grab the flopping sword. Two. Holy Hades, there's no way I... One. I gripped the hilt with two hands, pushed my torso as far back as I could, and planted the sword at the base of its skull. It reared, impaling itself, and suddenly went limp. Tumbling off the back, I hit the ground hard and heard it hit the ground beside me harder. The crowd was going nuts, screaming and air horns blaring. I stared at the pipes running across the ceiling. Adonis crouched near me. We'll make a good team after you learn a few things. I twisted my head. What in the name of Olympus does that mean? I groaned and pushed myself up. He didn't answer. The man lived to be enigmatic. Standing, he held out his hand. I glanced up at him and took it. He pulled me up easily, and we both turned to gaze at the dead beast. So do we win? Is your boss no longer angry? I asked, hopefully. Too easy to appease him. His gaze went around the crowd and settled on the gate on the opposite side of the arena from the one the manticore entered. Yeah, too easy. Just tell whoever runs this place who you are. This was ordered by the Supreme Priest. Who I was to him stopped mattering when I refused to fight you. Of everything he'd said, this hit the hardest. You potentially walked away from your job and him for me? Come on, we need what rest the crowd will give us. He started towards the gate, yawning open. You need a few lessons in sword fighting, too. I watched him, unable to shake my astonishment. I thought him undecided about assisting me when the opposite was true. He was all in. Maybe some part of the man I knew 12 years ago remains. I hurried after him, grimacing at the pain in my back. We stepped out of the bright arena into the low-lit area behind the scenes, where a line of 15 guards with guns stood waiting for us. These were mercenaries if I'd ever seen them, dressed differently than one another, some unkempt, in different levels of quality of dress.
This way.
One motioned for us to head down a hallway wide enough for a car. I walked with Adonis, and we trailed the man who spoke down a long hall. It emptied out into an area of crude cells, some with handcuffed men, and others with men lying on cots or eating. We got our own cell, this one with four concrete walls, as if his boss had a clue what Adonis became at night. The man we followed opened the door, and we stepped into it.
"You fight again first thing in the morning,"
he said as he closed the door behind us. A small first aid kit and two trays of mushy cafeteria food and rolls sat in one cot. A 5-gallon container of water was at the foot of the second, and the corner contained a metal toilet and sink. At least a curtain shielded the bathroom area from the rest of the cell.
"Home sweet home," I murmured and looked around.
Adonis went to the first aid kit and picked it up, opening it to check its contents.
"Shirt off. We'll get bandaged up and work on some moves."
I hesitated. I'd never taken off my clothes in front of anyone. He glanced at me. Turning my back to him, I peeled my shirt over my head without removing it completely. I used the material to cover my breasts.
"Ow!"
He said nothing. The moment his fingers touched my bare back, I jumped. Embarrassed, I cursed myself silently and was still when he tried again. He cleaned the wound quickly.
"You take a beating well," he stated.
"Thanks. It's more important than people realize." I sighed. His version of small talk sucked. "Do you have a plan? Survive until my boss forgives me? Or makes enough money on the odds that he's appeased?
Or they leave you out at night. He knows what I am. That won't happen."
"Will he let you die?"
I didn't want to know the answer to the question and kept it to myself. The silence was awkward, and I sought a new topic.
"So you kept Mrs. Nettles all this time without remembering why?"
"I assumed she came from my childhood."
"Why couldn't you remember anything?"
"Why couldn't you?"
I had no idea. Was this a secret Heracles would know?
"You know, it's not normal for a toy to walk and talk, right? It's not normal for a man to turn into a grotesque every night. I knew she was special, just not why."
"Do you feel a connection to her?"
I asked, my mind on the gem at my chest. His hand paused.
"Of sorts."
I tugged the gem free and turned. "This is yours. Do you remember it?" He wiped his hand on his pants and lifted the gem, studying it.
"It's familiar, but I can't remember."
"You gave it to me after I awoke you."
"From the temple."
He met my gaze.
"I see glimpses of the past. I was someone else before I was stone."
Feeling a little claustrophobic with him so close, I pulled the gem free and turned once more.
"I didn't know you then."
I focused on the ribbons in the room around me as he finished. "I need to learn to use them."
"Swords?"
"No." I waved at the cell. "I can see strands of life around everything. I smoothed out one of yours and you remembered me. I used them to bring Mrs. Nettles to life when I was little and to..." I paused, not sure I was ever going to be ready to figure out what I had done to Heracles.
"To what?"
"I'm not sure. I changed Heracles, somehow."
"Heracles."
His voice was a pitch lower.
"You remembered something that makes you doubt you should have saved him?"
"No, never. I'll always save him."
"Something changed."
"Nothing."
"You were a terrible liar before you fixed me. It's easier for me to tell now." "You're curling your toes."
"How in Hades do you know that?"
I looked down, not realizing I was doing as he said until I focused on my toes.
I can feel what you do.
What? Pulling my shirt back over my head, I faced him and stepped back. That's kind of creepy.
Your ribs on the left side are stiff, probably bruised, and your wrist is burned from the belt.
I rubbed my wrist. I take it back. That's freakish.
When you felt the connection, it was normal. When I do, it's freakish?
He tossed the rag he'd been using on my back. This, I swept my hands down my body, is mine to know what's going on. Don't mess with me. None of your damn mind tricks, Adonis.
He gave one of his almost smiles. I wasn't this time.
Oh, but you do admit to doing it before.
It's in my nature. Predators sometimes toy with others.
I think I want my own cell, I complained. My body was starting to cool down and stiffen. Can you read my mind?
No.
Would you tell me if you could?
No.
I glared at him.
It's a matter of self-preservation, he said. Don't sit down. You need to learn to handle a sword.
I was almost looking forward to it, to compare the training methods of the chief of Sisa and Heracles, and to get out of the awkward discussions I had with him.
Basic drills.
For the next hour or so, Adonis showed me a few basic moves that would have been useful in the arena. He was surprisingly patient, more so than Heracles. When the basics were done, we sparred lightly in the confines of the room for another 15 minutes before he called it quits. He ate like the beast I knew him to be, and I watched, amused that someone who came across as polished held the very definition of a feral side.
You ever hear of a fork?
Ever kissed a boy?
I gasped. That is not cool. I flung my roll at him. He caught it and bit into it without responding verbally, but my appetite was mostly gone. I hated to be embarrassed, to know he was probably judging me like the nymphs and priests and everyone else did. He lifted his head and tilted it. His gaze went to the door a full 20 seconds before I heard a key in the lock. A man armed to the teeth and flanked by 4 more guards entered. His guard stayed outside, but he didn't close the door.
Nico, I growled. Hey, kid, you put on quite a show.
He gave a sly smile.
Welcome to the underworld. This is a good place to supplement your income, assuming you survive or know how to gamble.
Ever the mercenary? Can you get us out? I demanded and set the tray aside, standing.
I don't plan on it. His gaze went to Adonis. Are you in trouble, Adonis?
His smile was wide, his expression almost gleeful.
What's it like to view the world when you can't look down on it anymore?
He stepped forward. A surge of protectiveness, or maybe possessiveness, shot through me. I recalled too clearly seeing Adonis hurt 12 years ago and moved to block Nico's progress into our cell. What do you want? I demanded, glaring up at him, like you haven't already messed up my life enough.
Shut up, kid. You're damn lucky I came along when I did, or you'd be sitting on that stump afraid to leave your forest.
I flushed.
Someone like you need a guard dog?
Nico directed this to Adonis. If I had any idea how to twist or tug the ribbons over him to turn him into some sort of animal, I would have.
You came to gloat.
Adonis stood at my back, close enough for me to feel his heat once more.
Damn right I did, Nico said. Supreme Priest told my boss what happened with the trial. No way even he would forgive something like this. I might apply for your position at Sisa.
They don't take your kind.
No matter.
Nico's jaw ticked, but he forced a smile.
Hey, kid. Your new friend tell you about his prisons and the heretics he collects? People like the priests you knew get thrown into melting chambers where they're dissolved alive. The worst end up at the house.
I can't even imagine what kind of torture Adonis commits there. I didn't back down, though I had to admit I was wondering about the extent of Adonis's actions, whether the fear of the priests and others were justified. To know he was connected to me,
that I had brought him to life and he massacred people.
Leave us alone, I said quietly. Watch from the stands, like everyone else.
Trust me, kid. I'll be there next time you fight. No love lost between Adonis and me. Though I don't wish you a slow death like I do him.
I can feel the love, I said sarcastically. Dozy know you're here? Probably why she won't let you see your son.
Nico reached out to grab me. Adonis snatched his wrist with his lightning speed. I blinked, but didn't otherwise move.
Watch it, kid. The Supreme Magistrate still wants you. When Adonis is gone, I'll be there to pick you up. The only thing standing between you and your fate.
Nico growled. He wrenched free, turned, and left. The door slammed behind him.
What possesses you to challenge men who can beat you?
Adonis asked.
I shifted away from him and went back to my cot to sit. I'm not afraid of men.
Monsters, yeah.
You should feel the opposite.
How so?
Men can think. They can act maliciously. Monsters are instinctual by nature. Some are more aggressive than others, and some trained to fight. But they're not malicious.
You're both?
The worst of all, an intelligent predator.
Are you upset the Supreme Priest might let you die here? I asked.
I'm not the regretting type. He set his empty tray of food on the ground.
The question was on the tip of my tongue. The need to know what kind of horrific acts he'd committed, sending guilt through me.
Heracles had killed my parents. But what had Adonis done? How many people had died because I let something like him loose into the world?
The muscles between your shoulder blades.
They get tense when you're upset, he said.
Stop!
He was right. Not that I'd ever noticed that, either. My wound was painful and blazing despite the medicine he smeared on it.
How do you know how to use a sword, anyway?
Are you from the same place as Nico?
The Gladiator Guild?
No. Adonis sat on his cot. I'm not sure. It's from the life before I was a grotesque. It has something to do with my mark.
He traced his thumb over an omega-shaped birthmark on his wrist.
I've got one, too. I pulled up my sleeve to display the double omega.
He studied it.
That explains a few things.
Meaning?
Part of an old legend that spooks the gods, he said.
There's a prophecy about a final oracle as strong as the original, who opened the gate for them to come here. The legend foretells that this second oracle will be strong enough to cut them off from their power and banish them permanently from Earth.
I've heard that before. It's what I'm supposed to do.
And bring back the old ways.
Do you know what it would take for them to return?
Please don't say Armageddon.
Then you do know.
Such destruction was beyond my ability to imagine. But I could see Adonis setting fire to the world without a second chance.
Why? How can you be this way with me and scare everyone else to the point they'll commit suicide rather than deal with you?
You want to know if I'm as bad as they say?
My mouth was dry. I nodded.
Yeah,
I am.
His features were calm, his gaze steady.
Does that change things for you?
I no longer wanted to discuss this with him. I looked away, seeking yet another subject that wouldn't end with my body so tense I felt ready to pop.
Do you think the same person wiped both of our memories?
It's possible. It happened around the same time, and we knew each other. I nibbled on the last of my food, then sat back. Adonis and I stared at one another. In addition to his bright eyes, his perfect features were worthy of visual exploration. Wide shoulders and chest. A lean frame and long legs with thick thighs completed the man I could not for the life of me figure out. I wasn't even certain I wanted to. While I respected his physical prowess in the arena, I was uncomfortable in the downtime when his attention was on me. I always had been. Always wanted to put more space than I had between us.
his admittance to being what he was rumored to be, and having no regrets, crushed me on a primal level I didn't yet understand. My eyes went over his head. He had 5 ribbons when normal humans had 3, and monsters had 4. He was special. Something more than a half-beast. "You used to be able to manipulate them," he stated, ever aware of where my mind and body were. "Yeah." I had half a mind to experiment on him, but feared hurting him as well. Was it wrong not to hurt someone who had hurt so many? Did that make me weak? I glanced around and stretched for a plastic cup on top of the jug of water. I set it down on the cot beside me and focused on the ribbons. First, I pulled at the blue one. The cup collapsed on itself. I tried to repair it and managed to return it to its shape, save for a dent. Little me had brought creatures to life with green ribbons. I looked over my head but didn't see any ribbons at all. Adonis rose as I played with the cup and went to the back of the cell. "Come to life, you damn thing!" I leaned back, frustrated, and glanced at the ribbons flowing off the cot beneath me. "Or you. Someone." With my focus on the ribbons, I didn't pay him any attention until I heard rustling. I glanced over my shoulder and back, and my jaw went slack. "What are you doing?" I squeaked. He was naked, his back side to me. My eyes went over his muscular back to the narrow hips and waist, and the ass that looked amazing. Was an ass supposed to look amazing? Every part of Adonis was incredibly perfect, except the part of him that specialized in hurting people. "It's time," he answered. "For what?" "For me to change." "You couldn't change behind the curtain?" And then I understood. He wasn't changing clothes. He was turning into a monster. Here, in our cell. "Never mind." Uncertain whether to be concerned or awed, I stood in mild alarm to watch. Adonis took a deep breath and released it, his shoulders moving up and down with the movement. Wings sprouted from the blades, going faster than I could track with my eyes. His skin flushed gray, and his size increased noticeably, but not by much. His hair disappeared to leave his head bald, and his head changed shape. A tail sprouted. The magnificent creature I had seen at the lake was suddenly before me, as incredible and real as I had imagined. In my dream, and from a distance, he was intimidating, but nowhere near as imposing as he was mere meters away. I found myself retreating towards the door. He turned to face me, the fantastical beast that first warned me my world wasn't what I thought it was. He tucked his wide wings around him, and his tail tapped the wall. Teal eyes glowed the same color as my gem. My eyes skimmed down his body, and I flushed when they fell to his groin. "Thank the gods, monsters come with..." I motioned to him and silently screamed at myself for being stupid. "Loincloths."
"I can remove it if you find it offensive."
The soft whisper came from inside my mind. "No, oh my gods!" I'd never been more humiliated. He was amused. His fanged smile was scarier than Heracles's. "Okay," I said and swallowed hard. "We survived your first change." Although I felt like hyperventilating at the thought he could morph into a creature. He resembled a gargoyle with his heavy, uneven features built to scare.
"You clench your right fist when you're scared."
"Wait a minute," I yelled and shook out the tension of my right arm. "A teddy bear talking in my head is one thing. You don't get to do that."
"I cannot communicate with you otherwise."
"I'm good with not communicating. Be a good monster and don't talk to me." He tilted his head and pointed behind me.
My eyes stuck to the long talon extending from his gray hand. He had torn four men limb from limb to protect me. I had the sudden desire to sleep with a sword this night. He pointed again. I turned and leapt back. The cot and cup were both alive. The cot was bumping silently against the wall. The cup rolled back and forth, unable to right itself with the handle in its way.
Holy Hades, I breathed. I really did it.
The cot changed directions and started towards me. I backpedaled, amazed, yet sort of freaked out by the weird display. I smacked into Adonis, who steadied me. Shoving his hands away, I tripped over the walking cot and went down with it, both of us tangled and thrashing. Something ripped, and I shoved the cot off me and scrambled to my feet. Shit! Okay. I caught my breath. The cot had gotten stuck on the other one and torn down the center. The cup began to roll towards me. Nope, we're done with this. I plucked the green ribbon from it and the cot and lowered my hand, not sure what to do with them. Light as air, yet mind control. I finally patted them against my thigh. They disappeared.
Well handled.
I risked a look at the creature who was watching with his arms crossed, exposing roped forearms. The muscles of his athletic frame were perfectly defined under tight, gray skin. I caught myself staring too long and shook my head. You seriously look like this every night? I managed finally. He bowed his head. I see why I called you mismatch. Your ears and face are, he growled, lopsided, but beautiful. Like, you are incredible, Adonis. I cleared my throat. Never mind. I think I destroyed the cots. Hope you don't mind sleeping on the floor. He extended a wing. I eyed it.
I sleep on them.
I hesitated, then touched the inside of one wing carefully. The downy fleece lining it was softer than anything I'd ever felt.
Wow.
I ran both hands through the strange fur, smiling despite being weirded out by everything that had happened recently.
I can see why. These are incredible.
I also innately understood little me's fascination with the creature. Stunning did not begin to describe him, and the wings made me want to melt into them and sleep forever. I was finally beginning to feel the drain of the insanity I'd been through.
You are tired. I can feel it.
Bad monster. Mismatch moved the dead cots to the back of the cell and wrapped himself in one wing, then lay down, spreading out the other on the ground. Oddly enough, I was less nervous around the monster. He was scary, yes, but something about Adonis left me self-conscious and rattled. You don't bite, do you? I asked.
Only when warranted.
I rolled my eyes. The monster that so gently picked up Mrs. Nettles and me was less scary than the man I couldn't read. I won't hurt them, will I? I asked, pulling off my shoes and socks. I sat down with a grimace, my back hurting.
No.
I rested my hands on the wing, then let them sink into its plushness, soon grinning from the softness. This is amazing. I stretched out carefully onto my belly and rested a cheek against it. His scent was everywhere, and I sighed. The wing rolled around me, and I went with it, surrounded by warmth and softness unlike anything I'd ever experienced. The rolling stopped and loosened, easing out from around me without releasing. I'm a human burrito, I said cheerfully. Do you eat humans?
No.
I closed my eyes, intending to relax for a few minutes, but ended up toppling into a deep slumber. Chapter 15. Gentleness is the antidote for cruelty. Phaedrus. Banging on the door jarred me awake. I blinked, not recalling where I was until I saw the dreary concrete walls. I was warm, despite the damp chill of morning underground in a place with no central heat or air conditioning, and lifted my head. My body was sore, my back aching and feeling like the wound would tear if I dared move. The sound of metal trays sliding on concrete floors came a second before the door clanged shut. Falling asleep with a monster wasn't as strange as waking up with Adonis. One of his arms was draped over me, and we were spooning. He was wearing pants, thank the gods, or I would have totally lost it. I did sneak a peek at the smooth, rounded muscles of his chest and biceps. There wasn't much about him that didn't amaze me. "How's the back?" he asked, without opening his eyes. I really despised how he did that. "Awesome! Ready for another go."
"Good."
I wasn't fooling either of us, but I didn't care. I pushed to my knees and moved away from him, sweeping one last look down his body. Ugh, he was perfect. Aside from the homicidal tendencies, the mental games, and the fact he had access to too much information when it came to me. I got to my feet and groaned aloud. "Oh, gods, that hurts." Adonis said nothing. He stood, displaying none of the aches and pains I did.